Kelly Chase here to tell you about my friends at GFI Digital. It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered with office equipment, managed print, network and advanced technology services. GFI also provides IT solutions ranging from your basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. Authorized RICO dealer, call 314-997-6300 or visit them online at GFIDigital.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan, Vaughn with you inside the Tease Farm, 9 o'clock hour. Tease Farm, the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and also the sponsor of our award-winning 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to Kelly Chase joining us here in a matter of moments. And your emails for the email today, 2 Bud Bash tickets for the Cardinals and Rockies tomorrow. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug, it's my brother's birthday. Will you do the honor of giving him his birthday spankings? Thanks, Hefty Lefty.
Oh, I thought this was going to be one of your brothers, your brother Kevin, maybe.
Nope. He's September 7th, 82.
Hefty Lefty. No, I'm busy, Tim. I'm pressed for time.
That seems selfish.
Yeah. I won't be doling out any birthday spankings.
It does seem rude. I don't get it. Calvin May had a question last night for Ken Hitchcock. It is our Llewellyn's Pub fun with audio brought to you by Llewellyn's Pub. Take their trolley from Soulard to the Blues game tomorrow night. It's Llewellyn's Pub fun with audio.
Hitch, what were your thoughts on the intensity of this game with your players?
What do you mean by that?
Llewellyn's Pub fun with audio.
If you can stump a wordsmith like Hitchcock, you've stumped someone good.
I'd like to hear the follow-up. Well, you know, intensity.
Here's Brian Elliott on why he's so dominant during the rush when the goalie's pulled.
All right, hit the lever, pal.
It really has a lot to do with the guys in front of you, how they're playing, you know, what lanes they're taking away, and, you know, kind of staying patient. I thought we did a really good job. You know, not chasing in that last little bit. And I think against these guys, you know, some have, you know, a lot of skill and you can get chasing pretty easy. I thought we just kept it, you know, tight and let them pass it around a little bit. And you know, I don't think they really saw an opportunity that they really liked. So when you limit it like that, the clock kind of winds down faster than normal. And you know, you're just hoping that maybe we'll get a chance to put in the empty net.
DeBoer did pull the goalie about 2.5 minutes left, a little earlier than normal. And while Elliott did have to withstand 150 seconds, technically, of the extra man out there for San Jose, the Blues were able to clear the puck with about 25 seconds left, and San Jose was never really able to get into the Blue zone from that point forward. And you just, man, what an... I just exhaled. That's how I felt as a fan last night.
Can we hear how you would have done it? That's so cool the way you exhale.
I think the feminine sigh that I incorporate during the exhalation, is that a word, exhalation?
Well, we understand what it means, even if it isn't. Oh, wow. It's a little squeak to the end, like you sat on a duck, maybe.
No, just a Benoit ball. On Snoop's podcast, he asked Cube, what's up, Raiders or Rams? Cube just gave a chuckle, wouldn't even answer. Nobody out there cares about the Rams. Chester Copperpot.
I hope not.
Doug, why do you hate the Blues? I saw that dumb turquoise tie you had on. That's from Matty Bear.
It wasn't turquoise. It was blue. You need to adjust your set. It was a blue tie. Blue all the way, fellas.
Guys, my heart was beating so hard last night during the third period that I took my pulse on my erection. That comes from 2 minutes for tripping.
You know what? That was a little much. 2 minutes for trivia. You've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name, right now, as we speak, is going into Ragazzi's handsome leather-bound suspension logule. Ragazzi's voted best Italian and best toasted ravioli, Tim. The patio's now open, of course. Nurses happy hour in progress right now, 8 to 10 a.m. at Ragazzi's, 4945 Dagen on the Hill.
Guys, can you read the email today? Standings for May. I'm not sure who's in the lead. Thanks, Steve in Wildwood. Seamaster, do you happen to have the email of the day standings for the month of May? We are in the Cucky the Dwarf Misty Plops era. Cucky the Dwarf there on Friday. Doug, did you see him wearing his jean shorts?
I saw him
and his cut-up blue shirt.
Yes, I did.
Buck Swope, the, what do you call him?
Snootful. He's a bit of a snootful.
Oh, I thought you said like the, he's a camera spook or something.
Oh,
like
a shutter spook.
He put up about 70 pictures or something like that on the fan page. So if you want to see some great pictures from the event, they're up there. And also the picture that I posted that was sent to me by Mitch the Sex Kitten of the women kissing during the Blues and Sharks game last night. That's also up on the Morning After fan page on Facebook.
So
come on, absolutely. And hot, too, wasn't it?
Well,
it's pretty odd.
How did he just happen to get there? He put him up to it, right?
But we're in the Cucky that I don't think so. I think they just got into the game. We're in the Cucky the Dwarf, Misty Plops era, but we have a Rocco Mediate situation going on with the standings. Sea Monster.
Well, in May, Cucky the Dwarf and Misty Plops are both on the board, along with the Barnhart Brawler and Corey G. They all have one victory.
Wow.
Matt, who bowls at Hanks, has two. But then you have Stephen Wildwood, who I believe prompted this question, is out in front for email of the day victories in the month of May.
That's
so
what
far.
A juggernaut,
huge
Doug. That's a juggernaut.
Upset.
Yeah. He's winning one every 4 days.
What a huge upset.
16 days into May, he's won 4 times. That's 1 in 4. That's right. I'll handle the stats here.
Hey, boys, going to Panama City Beach tomorrow. Where are some good tripping spots? Thanks, Bubbles. Bubbles, of course, has the lesbian girlfriend.
He's the guy from The Nail?
Yeah, along with Fred from The Poor Part.
Okay.
Sometimes you sound like Reagan.
Bill, there you go again. Okay, so he's going down to Panama.
Yeah, and he wants you to give him some tripping spots.
I haven't been to Panama City Beach since my high school trip there, way back when.
Well, what was known for that back in the day?
What was it known for?
Club La Vila.
I don't even recall.
Lesbian getaway.
I do remember I went to Panama City Beach, and there's about four of us decided to go to a bar, and one of our friends was a black guy. And we walk in the bar, and everybody stops, and they look at us, and the owner comes hustling over to us and says, I'm going to have to give you guys the high sign. You better not stick around here. And we were just absolutely stunned by it.
Wait, he said the high sign? What does that mean?
Like, when I wave, you're going to have to go if I sense there's going to be trouble. I said, what would there be trouble for? I said, well, I don't know. I just kind of worry about you. I said, really?
Are you sure it was because you were
really?
With a black guy, or was it that you were
kind of
looking
nodding.
At every dude in there like they were on the menu?
No, he was nodding at him. He was nodding at our friend, and we said, you can't be serious.
This was 1947.
This was 1947.
This was in the 1970s.
Doug was touring with the Brooklyn Dodgers and Jackie Robinson.
I wasn't with the Dodgers. Mm-mm. This was 1970s, mid-70s. Stunned by that.
Yeah, the panhandle's a little different than...
Yeah, that's the redneck Riviera there.
Yeah. Very bourgeois?
Oh, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, it's still a lot of great tripping spots.
It's a nauseating story.
Mm-hmm.
Panama City is the armpit of Florida. They make St. Louis Hoosiers look classy. Thanks, Steve in Wildwood.
They're like Hoosiers that wrestle alligators out there, right?
Well, I'm sure there's some of that. There's not a lot of it. I don't think everyone wakes up in the morning and starts wrestling a gator. I think you do it. I think you can make a dollar out of it.
I think you'd be surprised.
You know what they do? They sit on their backs, and then they grab them by the snoot because the alligators can't open their mouth with a lot of strength. But, boy, they can sure close it.
I've seen pictures of guys sitting on your back. Is that because of your jaws?
Now, you, sir, are the prince of misinformation.
Guys, there's a Hooters in Panama City.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, that's good to know.
I still think Hooters is the most overrated.
Larry Nichols going to call in.
Not because of the food, but just because people act like you're going to a strip club when you say you're going to Hooters.
They got good wingy wingy there, though.
Well, I mean,
they really do.
It's not a strip. It's not anywhere close
to that. I don't like
those
wings.
You don't like those wings, really?
No, they're like breaded and floppy.
Floppy wings?
I'm a wing purist. You don't need breading
on
wings.
You're from New York. They seem to be having a lot of success selling these said wings.
I'm just saying I don't like them.
All right. I don't care for the hot sauce myself.
Well, they seem to be having a lot of success selling them.
They are.
Hey, Doug, baby, I wear suspenders and I hold the strap high against my naked nipple. I let it go and it spanks me. The nips turn sexual red. You like that? It's from Mr. Tebbles.
What do you mean you like that?
From Hendrick's
Hockey. I
don't
like that. Why would we need an update on his suspension?
Well, that's just a question. I think it was a sort of a question.
No, it was more like a statement.
It's Mr. Tibbles.
The state of his suspenders as related to his nipples. I didn't need to hear it. You guys ever worn overalls?
Clip that off.
What, do you need some bench material?
I mean, have you ever worn overalls?
Wow, Mitch the sex kitten sending in more pictures of the lesbianism, Doug. This is hot.
It was somebody he knew, and he put him up to it just to do more lemonading with you, right? It wasn't just look, there just happens to be two beautiful girls kissing right in front of me. I don't buy it.
Just posted it on my Twitter feed.
I don't buy it.
Wow, God, this is the name of the game. Like, you can see the one on the right leaning in, and she's got the nose ring, so you know she's been there before. Teehee.
She's got that look in her eye that says, this guy sitting behind us just gave me $20 to kiss you. Okay, I guess so. We'll split 10 each.
And look at it. They're so into it.
They're not that into it.
Man, that's hot. Plow Shark, how are things up at Billy G's this weekend?
Oh, it's been a pony all weekend. I mean, ever since that patio opened, you had beautiful weather over the weekend. It was absolutely amazing, so... Those two together make it a crazy weekend.
Nice.
Hmm. And you had to work all weekend.
I had a little, I had Satter's bat off.
You don't have to say Satter's bat because Tim would have. And you got your lock shorn.
I got a little trim, Doug.
You got a lot of lock shorn.
It was about 5 inches, yeah.
Who cut your hair, Plowsy?
I went over to that Great Clips over there on 9th Street. 9th and Olive, I think it is.
Well, you look wonderful. And Tim, this picture, they're not even kissing.
I think they're totally making out.
No,
probably digital play.
She's talking to someone over here. The other one's talking to some. This is a
trick photography is what it is.
Man, you call it Mitch Sit the Sex Kitten, you call out all Americans.
The one lady is talking to someone to her right. The other one is talking to someone to her left.
Could be photoshopped.
They're not in direct line.
No.
Not
I'm skeptical
the sex
of the whole deal.
Now what about the overalls? Let's get back to that.
Look at this picture of Mitch the sex kid.
Oh wow, that's troubling. Yikes. Gonna have bathroom issues in North Carolina, and you're not gonna know where to go.
He describes himself as a male fashionista into warm weather and shrubs.
Fashionista. Let's say that.
Boy, he's tweeted out this picture like 500 times.
Well, he's very proud of it. He thinks that you just might be his friend if he does this sort of excessive lemonading.
Yeah, because it's two women looking past each other at people next to them.
Right. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
Could you please give out the section for your lesbianism, Mr. Sex Kitten? Thank you.
It looks like just a few rows off the ice, isn't it?
Yeah, good seats.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, but you're saying that you didn't think anything went on, and now you're actually giving...
Photoshop. Well, they're sitting down there, but I don't. They've monkeyed with the photo. I got on StubHub to see if I could buy some tickets for the game. Upper deck was like $200.
Were they really?
Lower deck... Close to the ice, they were like $600-$700.
Really?
Absurd, yeah.
And you were going to take your son?
I was going to.
Holy moly. Is that right?
Those prices, I didn't. You could have, like, the cheapest ticket was in the 160 range, cheapest, all the way up top.
Yeah, but you know what?
I can't spend $400 to go to this game.
Yeah, but it's for your son. You can.
I couldn't.
Damn, Gina.
Yeah.
Because I'm planning on getting tickets for... I don't know. If there's like a game 7 for the Western Conference Finals.
Steep.
I wonder what those would go for. Think they'd be 4 digits for lower bowl?
I don't know. There was some close to the ice I saw that were 4 digits. I would rather not sit right next. I mean, it's a fun time to go to do that once or twice. But I think the better seats are up about 15, 20 rows.
Nope. If you can get close to the glass, that's where to be.
I just prefer to sit up a little bit. Sitting by the glass is a lot of fun. Love those seats, too. But I'm saying if you could if you were the first one there and you could sit anywhere you'd want to sit, I'd sit about center ice, about 10 rows, 15 rows.
May I make a suggestion? I'm not telling you what to do. But you lay out the money and you get some tickets right on the glass, and then you get some ones that are a little higher and you do both.
Yeah. Doug, WTF are you talking about? Tickets up high were $60 before game time. Then a text below that. An hour before the game, you could have sat anywhere for $75. From the Kaskaskia River Monster.
That's what I saw on StubHub, because that's where I went looking to buy them. They were
Doug, last night you could sit lower bowl for $90 if you bought 2 hours before the game. Dave in St. Peter.
On StubHub?
I don't know. I'm just reading text, baby. I'm just reading text.
Those prices are changing by the minute.
Doug, you're drunk. Tickets got into the 60s and 70s.
Well, they certainly weren't a day or two before, because I wanted to buy them.
Well, maybe you didn't really want to take your son. And this
no,
was
I
the
did.
Excuse you
it's
put
his birthday.
Out
I was going to go.
Nick Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Poor yeah, Nick.
There wasn't anything anywhere close to 60 or 70.
So you looked at it once, and you're like, I give up. And then they dropped, and you could have gone.
Well, maybe they dropped an hour before the game. It's too late at that point. I assume that the ones that they hadn't sold dropped at the last minute.
Dave in St. Peter says it was on StubHub. Guys, I bought tickets for Game 4 in San Jose, $2,000. Class seats are $2,000.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, that's a little much. That's a little much.
Yeah, but if you got
plenty of cash out there.
If you got the jack, don't step back.
I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe they would be like lower bowl for a game 7. Do you think they would be $1,000 apiece? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we could check right now.
I don't think game 7's up there.
No, but I mean game 2 would be.
Well, game 2's different, though, baby. Game 2's different.
I understand that, but I still want to
doesn't
check.
Sound like you understand it. You need me to explain it to you real nice like.
How are you going to make it up to Nick?
I don't know.
From the Barnhart Brawler, Doug doesn't believe in facts.
Well, I'm just telling you that I searched, and when I searched, that upper bowl was 150 or so. I'm not making it up. I would have loved to have bought them.
You and the Barnhart Brawler bonded on Friday at the Free Dotem Open.
No, I didn't. I saw him there. But it was a bonding experience.
Who'd you like better, the Brawler or Dotem?
It's about a tie. Tied for first.
Did you have a beer with him or anything like that?
I didn't have
was
a beer.
Was there detente?
No. Now, here's StubHub for tomorrow night's game. I see there's some way in the upper deck in the corner for 90, most in the upper deck, 150, 139, 107, way down low, 339.
Well, let me ask you this, sir. What dollar value do you put on your love for your son?
Mm.
Well, you got to have the money to buy him.
It's like $1.50?
Yes. I would have paid, if I could have found them, you know, 80 or 90, 100 maybe. But there wasn't anything close to 100 when I was looking.
But now there is, so go ahead and order them. And, Nick, you're welcome. Your father loves you.
Yeah, there's a couple $90 seats right
Yeah,
there.
Do it.
Guys, my girlfriend got me a male prostitute for law school graduation. It was pretty cool. Thanks, Tony the Plow Dow. Yeah, we got to congratulate him. He graduated from law school.
What law was it? One of those online law schools?
Congratulations.
Heartfelt. And sincere, those congratulations.
I just think it was probably online.
Cheapest my buddy and I could find was $1.42.
Yeah, they're considerably cheaper right now than they were when I was looking.
Now's the time to order. In fact, why don't you give out your PIN number over the air, your credit card number.
Yeah, you should do that. Then maybe somebody can get you tickets when they're available.
At the best possible price.
You know what? I'm going to hold off on doing that right now.
Joining us right now to give us his perspective on Doug struggling with getting tickets to the game and also the Blues and Sharks game one, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by GFI Digital, Kelly Chase. Good morning, Chaser. Nurse?
He's not there, Tim.
Nancy?
He's giving up on us.
Hey, Chaser.
Oh, boy. No, there he is. How are you?
Where'd you go? You slip out on us? What happened?
Oh, gosh. You know, you wouldn't believe what I was doing anyway, so I'll just leave it at that.
Now that makes me more curious.
I was standing on a scaffold about 8 feet above my patio putting ceiling boards in my outdoor kind of patio deal.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, lost Doug, track stop, of time.
Stop asking questions, Doug.
Do you ever sleep?
Boy, that guy's
tough. Seems like you're always doing something, traveling and working.
Well, I got a young guy that goes to school too early, so I got to take him anyway. And once you're up, you're up. It's 6:30 in the morning. You might as well go do something.
Yep, there you go, Doug.
Well, you could go back to bed. That's what I do a lot.
I'd like that one day or two, but I'm not used to that, Doug.
Yeah. Right. Plus, Chase gets up early to listen to the show.
Well, I don't think he does.
Hey, listen, I can tell you, when both boys, both schools, Crestview Elementary and Marquette, both trips, you guys are on.
Well, how about that? Nice, that's a nice little... I didn't think the signal got out there, to be honest with you, so this is really
exciting. Well, you know, it's tough right at Clarkson and Kerr's Mill. It really goes staticky.
They got some power lines there.
Yeah, well, it's a low-income area, so we don't really want that demographic anyway.
No, they don't buy anything out there.
You don't have anybody listening out there besides me anyway.
Yeah, you're exactly right, so I never hear any complaints about it. Chaser, what'd you think last night? I feel like the Blues might have stolen one, so to speak.
Yeah, they're going to have to be better than that to win the series. There's no question about it. And that's okay that they stole them. They'll take it. That's, you know, we've said this in every series and we've been in so far, and you've seen it in lots of games in this series, is there's been the best team hasn't always won, but it seems to balance out at the end of the series.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they'll take that one, and hopefully they can build on that. I think it was a good wake-up call for everyone. Your goaltender's exhausted at the end of the game is a bad sign. So, you know, I think the boys will be better. I think they recognize that San Jose's a different kind of animal. And hey, listen, I told you guys, I think they were the best team in the West, and we're capable of beating them. So that shows you where the St. Louis could be. So we won last night against a very good hockey team, and now we got to prepare to keep the momentum going.
That San Jose power play is... one of the best in the league, and they got nothing from it in game one. Is that what the Blues were doing, or is that the Shark power play just being out of sync for whatever reason?
Well, I think you have to give the Blues some credit. Listen, they put a real hurt on the Dallas power play as well as Chicago, so you have to give the penalty kill, the coaching staff, Bradshaw's in charge of a lot of credit for the way they pressured the puck, and yet, you know, you looked at, they had some good looks on it. And Joe Thornton facing the middle of the ice is a scary thing. This guy can pass with the best of them in the league still. So when I watch how they play and what they, you know, what they get accomplished on the power play throughout the playoffs, I think you got to give the Blues credit that they were able to keep it out of the net no matter how they did it, whether it was goaltending. And usually your goaltender is your best penalty killer anyway. But that was a pretty spectacular effort by Elliott last night. And I think that... the group realizes that they're not going to be able to rely on Els every night as much as they did last night.
What did you think of Backes and Thornton yanking on each other's beards? That would have started a fight in the old days, wouldn't it?
You know what? Yeah, I would think. I know it would have with me. It's just one of those scenarios. I had to kind of chuckle about it a little bit. So does that classify it as hair pulling?
I think it would, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, there you have it. You can't pull hair in our league. It's against the rules.
You put Ron Caron there for a second, didn't you?
How about
not, that slap shot, man.
Come on, Doug. Pay attention.
The rules.
How about Backes had a goal, you know, being in front where he creates havoc, but also 11 hits. Just the postseason run he's put together.
David had a heck of a game, especially noticeable in the penalty kill for me. You know, I thought, you know, him going into those areas and being tough. I like the matchup of him and Thornton. I like the fact that him and Thornton are having a battle. I think it's healthy for the Blues if David can continue engaging him, because Joe's a big man to handle. But, you know, the line I think that really has to, you know, and the player that has to step up and has to elevate his game right now is Vladdy, because he's got to realize that he's so dangerous. When it's a 5-on-5, if he gets his feet moving, because that's where they need to create space. Everyone knows how scary he is on the power play and with the flip of a wrist, or they overplay him so other guys are open. We understand that. But 5-on-5 is where he can really open a series up, and he hasn't got there yet in the last couple of games against Dallas. He wasn't either. So I think that to me is the scenario that I look at for an improvement.
Kelly Chase with us, brought to you by GFI Digital. We've had a number of people texting in wondering if he is hurt, and I know the cliche answer that a coach would give at this point in this year, everybody's banged up, but is he, you know, I don't know. I know you can't say even if you did know, so it's a stupid question, but people are wondering about that.
Just he's not hurt.
He's not hurt?
He's not hurt.
Okay.
No, he's not hurt. So I wouldn't go on and put him in a predicament like that if I thought that Vladdy was, you know,
right.
something. So, but, you know, but I mean, he just, he's a good player. Well, he's a great player and then that has to, you know, this is new territory for everyone. You got to remember, these guys aren't, they're not accustomed to playing right now. Like, none of these guys, except for Brouwer. So, to me, this is a real, this is an education as they go sort of a process. And I think the one thing that the young guys are realizing, Robbie Fabry for the first period and a half last night, was this pace is elevated from now the second round, which was faster than the first round. So, you know, I think that, you know, the Blues, this learning curve they're going on right now is interesting, but I also think that when you can win a game like you did last night without having your best, it makes a huge difference. So now they know what the expectation is, and I believe they're going to be much better in game two.
I thought it was an intriguing point brought up in Pierre LeBrun's column this morning on ESPN.com, Chaser, regarding the in a series that's expected to be as tight as we saw last night's game represent. The Blues could have a distinct advantage in the fact that we heard Ken Hitchcock say they, you know, he doesn't necessarily feel like they have a number one line. They have three number two lines, and there could be at this moment anyway a distinct advantage. He says no offense to Chris Tierney's unit for the Sharks, which played well the previous round against the Predators, but if the Blues can get Letera's unit with Tarasenko and Schwartz out there or any other top three lines matched up against San Jose's third line, this is an area St. Louis can exploit throughout the Western Conference Finals. And so he was wondering if there might be a change for game two and dropping down one of the Sharks guys on the second line down to the third line. Did you notice any of that? Is that being the big advantage for the Blues last night, especially when they had their push in the first period, in the first 15 minutes of the third?
Well, I think that San Jose's pretty comfortable with all the looks they got last night, so I don't imagine that that's going to change much. So, if, you know, I mean, until the Blues start to exploit it by having three dominant lines offensively and creating chances, there isn't much need for change. Now, in saying that, certainly I think balancing act will begin a little bit if you look into it and say, okay, all of a sudden Tarasenko and Schwartz got hot. We know what Fabry, Brouwer, and Stastny are giving you, and then, you know, that other line is just beast to play. I mean, Alex Steen's the most underrated player in the National Hockey League. I'm telling you. I mean, he does everything for the Blues. I can't believe he doesn't get more Selke consideration over the years. This guy plays the power play on the point. He plays right wing, center, left wing. He's the only swing guy that plays with every line, and they feel comfortable putting him in every position. He might be on right wing at the end of a game. He might be at center, left wing. They know they have a guy that they is dependable. And I can tell you right now, if they really were in a pinch and needed a defenseman, he'd be the first guy moving from forward to defense. So when you have to play against him along with Berglund, who's playing great, and Backes, I think you've got a real threat there of a heavy line. So if these lines need to just, Tarasenko's line needs to catch fire, and then all of a sudden it changes the mindset of Pete DeBoer and who he can play against them.
What did you think of that Berglund goal that was called back?
Good call.
Was it?
Good call. I'm not a real fan of this, you know, one of the four officials that were out there, and yet they got it correct, and I thought they did a good job of calling that. I think once I was surprised there was a challenge on it, to be honest with you. I don't know what you could be challenging. I would have leaned over and said to the ref without a challenge, I would have said, hey, if they shoot it in their own net, does it make a difference? Because clearly Vlasic shot it in his own net. And if they say no, it doesn't matter, I mean, what would you run over there to challenge it again for? They've just looked at it. You know, they've just looked at it and said no, it was, you know, I mean, they've already done that on their own. And now you're going to re-challenge it. Well, goalie, I mean, it was clearly interference when he backed into him the second time, even though Vlasic shot it in the net. So, but, you know, maybe Hitch was slowing down, you know, something that he thought might give San Jose some life. I'm not sure. But I know that, you know, anytime they go in the crease there while it's going in, they're going to wave it off and then go look at it. So they did once, and that was enough. The other thing that's interesting to me is that you watch the San Jose Sharks fall forward every single time they go in an Elliott. They'll bump them, they'll fall on them. If there's a little cross check, they'll vault themselves a little bit into Elliott. I mean, that's the kind of thing. That's how Grant Fuhr ended up hurt. And that's the kind of thing that truly makes an impact on a goaltender and wearing them down. So San Jose did a lot of that last night.
So what do you do about that? How do you?
Well, that's the referees. The referees have to handle that. I mean, I think that you make the league aware of it, and then the officials are aware of it, and then, you know, hopefully they have the, you know, stones to call it, because you've seen a lot of it last night. And I think that, I mean, both teams do it. It's part of the. You know, I guess not the gamesmanship, but sort of the intensity and the emotion that you're going to try and give yourself an edge with.
Aside from tinkering with a line here or there, maybe San Jose does that. Do you expect game two to be much different in terms of the way it's played than the first game?
No, absolutely. I would expect St. Louis to be much better. And I think, like you said, I think it was an education process. And I think for the St. Louis Blues, they did a heck of a job of holding off San Jose last night, but I think that'll all change. And I look at this game that's coming up here as a pivotal point of this series, because it's not that I don't believe San Jose can't beat the St. Louis Blues, 4 to 5 times, but it'll be extremely tough. And I think if the Blues can win the next game, I know how hard it is to play in that building. But I think that it really puts some pressure on some guys in San Jose to open up a little bit more. And last night, every time they tried to go on up ice, like, Burns is active in every play, and he'll shoot the puck from everywhere. He doesn't care. His it's a given. It's going at the net. So I'm sure the Blues are going to play tighter on Burns. But if they start taking chances up ice, that's when a turnover could be an outnumbered situation going the other way, and that's advantage Blues.
Somebody asked Hitchcock what the Blues need to do to play better. He said he thought they needed to go on the road. That they seem to play better on the road than anywhere else. So I guess even if they do come away with this 1-1, that shouldn't upset them too much.
Well, I don't think it'll make a difference. No, but I think that San Jose's, they haven't been down in a series yet, so now they're down, and making them down 2-0 is really unfamiliar territory for them, so I think that would be a real plus for the Blues, obviously.
Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital. Any of your former teammates come to town for this one over the weekend and you get a chance to hang out?
No. Blair Atchenham is going to be in tomorrow. And last night I got a text from Momesso that him and Carboneau were thinking about doing something, coming in or something. I don't know for sure. But there are more and more guys rolling in. Scotty Young's trying to get in for it. And I've heard from a few of the guys. But it'll be interesting. I got some friends in for tomorrow's game, so it should be fun. You know the video we just watched from the day with the cup?
Yeah.
Wait till you see the one we'll put out there tomorrow. It'll be fun. It'll be really, really cool.
Very cool. Looking forward to that. Kelly Chase with us after every Blues Stanley Cup playoff game, and he is presented by GFI Digital. Kelly Chase here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Thank you, Chaser.
Enjoy, boys.
See ya. Right, see ya. Here's Kelly Chase back up on the scaffolding. He goes, GFI Digital. Is a company we do business with here at Inside STL Enterprises. They have you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFIdigital.com. Think about it. Do it.
Okay. Kind of wimpy to use scaffolding. I just jump. You know, if
you
I have
do.
To
Every put time you do something, you keep jumping up and down. Yeah. Just keep bouncing.
See, might as well like jump.
It
jump.
It seems like you're giving up if you use scaffolding.
Might right? as well jump.
Well, sometimes you're in a position where the ladder wouldn't be very safe. Most of us don't have the ups that you have.
You got mad rise.
Mad hop.
Emails will be coming in. Stephen Wildwood trying to pull off a huge upset in the month of May. You know, we're past the halfway point now, and people are kind of talking about it. You know, I was out on Friday, and people said, hey, do you think he can do it? And I said, I don't know. I mean, we didn't expect this.
Where did you go on Friday?
Over under.
Oh, big crowd there too.
Post pony. Boy, I was so exhausted. I could barely keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
So exhausted. But it was a great time. Our staff, I had nothing to do with it, and I like cannot emphasize that enough. Like, I had nothing to do with it. So Tabitha, Brendan, our sales staff, Dan Branning, Melissa Marr, Drew Jolly, Anna Marie, who works here full-time, They did a hell of a job along with Jay Randolph Jr. and his staff at Normandy to pull off a, you know, that's a monster event. And it just went, couldn't have gone more smoothly. I guess the only thing that we could go, okay, now that we learned our lesson, it was our first time ever doing one, I guess we didn't have enough beer because around 5 o'clock we ran out. We had 70 cases of beer.
And that wasn't enough.
70 cases of beer.
So the loaded up beer guy was mad. Hey,
there was a guy, and I was driving around in the cart with Anna Marie and caller Jordan, and Jordan goes, I feel so bad for you guys with whoever wrote that on that sign. And I go, what are you talking about? And Anna Marie gave her a look, and it's like they didn't want to tell me about it. But, and I'm like, what do you, I said, listen, broads. And
oh,
I said,
but oh, I, you said it just like that.
Yeah, and I didn't say with all due respect.
Right.
I said, I've been getting ripped online for 17 years. I said, I can handle it. What is it? I would imagine somebody, old money probably, wrote on one of the signs, ran out of beer, this sucks.
Mm. Wow. Wow. You went right home and cried.
I'm not over it yet.
What, it sounds like if you had how many golfers? 200 and how many?
260. So the math would be that's 1,780 beers.
Yeah. Almost everybody had a quarter of a case.
You're correct, sir.
And how many six packs in a case? Four? Six
yes, sir. Yeah, your math is right.
So almost everybody had a six pack.
Right. In addition to free breakfast.
Right.
Well, breakfast being included.
And it wasn't enough. A six pack
and
wasn't
lunch
enough.
Included from Billy G's, snacks throughout, and that was for $75 per person. Mm-hmm. But yes, that was not.
And golf.
Well, but again, you had 260 people, and you had one or maybe four. If that was a foursome, I would imagine all four felt that way to do that. But, you know, I mean, you have 64, I believe, whatever the math is, on how many foursomes we had. And so many people were so, I mean, you could just tell they were enjoying themselves and so complimentary. And so I want to make it clear that, you know, so many people worked on this, and none of those people were me. So I'm so thankful to the staff we have because they did a hell of a job with what was a major undertaking for a small business. And it couldn't have gone, really couldn't have gone any better unless I guess we had 90 cases of beer.
Well, I mean, you're expecting when you go to something like that to get a case of beer.
Seems like you cheaped out on the beer to me.
It's kind of, you had a problem with the loaded up guy years
we
ago.
We did.
You think you'd learn your lesson?
Oh, he was old money as well.
Loaded up.
Loaded up, but I mean, it wasn't
loaded
just. He kind of shook it. He shook his head like, I just don't give a damn. Loaded up. That's what he did. He's shaking the head back and forth.
Go ahead.
And with every piece of food that was parceled out to you, it broke your heart. Yep. He said, loaded up. See that, McKernan? I'm getting more.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a lot of food out there Friday.
What'd you have, Doug?
I had the Billy Cheese.
How about Lion's Choice?
Yeah, Lion's Choice.
Sponsor of the
had some of that too. Lion's
handoff to Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box, Lion's Choice. Joe from Lion's Choice brought out, I mean, God, I don't even know. I would think 100 sandwiches for the Rills. Good treat. That's all I ate between that. So I had that right after we got done with the show. I had one turkey sandwich until 10 p.m. Holy moly.
Well, why didn't you stop to eat a little bit?
And we were just going and going and going, but it was so fun. I mean, it was such a damn good time. I mean, I'm looking at Buck Swope, and what is he, a Shutter Spook?
Shutter Spook.
Yeah, I'm looking at his pictures on the fan page, and I'm going, God, that was just a great day. That was a great day. And honestly, going into it, moment of candor, I was dreading it. Because I figured, first off, I'm going to be exhausted. As you boys know, we're working on things behind the scenes as far as radio stuff goes, and I'm just fried. I am absolutely fried because this has been going on since like January, and I'm thinking to myself, God, now it's the end of the week. I can barely keep my eyes open, and now I'm going to have 260 people, all of whom are understandably wanting to have a good time and get drunk.
We thought they'd have a little bit of beer out there anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they thought there would be like 90 cases. Unfortunately, there was a, and I thought it would be, you know, debauchery, but really, with the exception of Timberfig driving one of the carts up on the green,
yeah, that's an issue.
People were pretty well behaved and just super cool. It was just a good time. It was a great time. And the staff did such a good job, both Normandy and Inside STL.
Normandy folks have a heart attack when they saw the cart headed for the green proper?
I was tending to Timber Fake and Mike Lee at that moment.
So what do you have, like little Dixie cups you put a splash of beer in? Here's the beer? Is that
That's
how
we have it? As I understand it, there was no beer out there at all.
No, 70 cases. There were 1,680 cans.
And that wasn't quite enough. I don't like to drink when I play golf. I just like to play golf.
What event do you like to drink at?
Oh, if you're at a, you know, a bar or a party, I might have it.
What about at, you're at a ball game? You drove some seniors over there, ate the free buffet, and you're out in the stands.
I don't usually do that. That would only be if anyone needed a ride.
That's what I'm saying. You drove some seniors and ate the free buffet, and now you're at the ballpark.
Oh, I didn't even think about the buffet.
And would you have a couple of pops there?
Usually, no.
I like having a beer on a nice sunny day.
If I have a beer during the day, I'm pretty much done. I'm tired now. Now I'm sleepy. I'm ready to go to bed.
Some gentleman just sent in a picture of himself with my wife and a, what do they call one of these things?
Dalmatian.
Dalmatian. Mm-hmm. Lovely. And Larry Nickel and a Dalmatian and this gentleman.
You didn't
and there's you, Doug.
Yeah, you didn't see the dog out there?
I did not. I was focused on Cucky the dwarf.
And trying to get at least a beer or two up there to the party. Yeah, I saw the dog. Very nice Dalmatian.
Corey Seager, the Dodgers shortstop.
He was there.
He said, Stephen Wall, we're going to do it.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
People are talking about
awkward.
It. Kershaw said
I'm like, I feel like, you know, I'm on the show. I don't, you know.
You don't want to play favorites or anything.
The Cat, tomorrow night, there's a place to watch the Blues game. There's a place to watch the Cardinals game. Ah, yes.
The game.
And it's the Post, Sports Bar and Grill.
In my opinion, there's one place to go and watch the Blues, especially for playoff hockey. That is the Post Sports Bar and Grill. They got 22-ounce domestic drafts, free Blue Note shot every time Alexander Steen gets a goal, 20% off your bill when you show your Blues ticket stub from the day of the game. And they will continue to give out tickets for postseason Blues hockey. Check out their Facebook and Twitter pages for more information on that. And for Cardinals games, same deal. 22-ounce domestic drafts, Cardinal ticket giveaways during Tuesday and Friday games. Free Redbird shot every time Gritch hits a home run. The Post Sports Bar and Grill on Manchester in Maplewood and the new location in Creve Coeur at Olive and Old Ballas. Stay posted, my friends.
Nice. Okay. I'm looking at StubHub here. Tickets are considerably cheaper this time.
Well, I mean, last time you didn't really make a good effort to
son
to the
game. Actually made a good
effort. Look, one time. Oh, they're expensive. Sorry, Nick.
Three or four times.
Sorry, Nick. If you had a better father, you'd see a Blues hockey.
If he had a richer father, he would. He'd see more games.
Well, you're pretty well-to-do.
No, I'm not well-to-do. I'm not well-heeled.
You're not well-heeled, but you do have some affluence.
I have very little affluence. I have more flatulence than affluence.
And sense of humor is great, too. You just had your host talk about flatulence on the air. Today.
Well, we're just talking over some things. As well.
Poor Nick.
Well, maybe we can go to the next game.
Well, get on there and order the tickets.
Well, I'm busy right
now.
You
got great sons. Be nice to them.
You're saying I'm not nice to them?
You're a fine father, but treat your kid. You got the money. You got the jack. Don't step back.
Well, thanks. And I'll try to help you spend
do you think if you spent $180 or $200 on these tickets, you wouldn't be able to pay your mortgage? Of course you would.
Well, you could say that about anything that you can't afford. But sooner or later, if you live like that, you'll wind up in trouble.
Just this one time, make the exception. Do it for Nick.
Okay, why don't you buy your son every little thing that is
necessary? I end up doing it, not that I want to, but I'm fond of
you
your
don't have
your
three
sons.
Of them. You don't have three of them that you have to please.
We spend five times, more, so it balances out.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I spend all my money on myself, thanks. I really like it that way, a lot.
Boy, you would have some money to throw around if you didn't have kids, that's for sure.
Don't act like they're a curse. They're the joy of your life.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just kind of thinking out loud there. I probably shouldn't have.
Remember when they were little tykes? You'd come home from doing journalism, and they'd say, Father, father, and they'd gather around and give you a big hug. Remember that?
It wasn't usually the case. They never really said, father, father. I mean, this is not the 1700s.
I've heard John Vaughn say, father, I love you.
Yeah, you put him up to it.
No, he listened to his heart.
Well, there's some tickets on here for $90.
Maybe. That's what I'm saying.
That's still $180. That's a lot of money to go to a hockey
game. Stop buying yourselves the fancy name brand clothes. Go back to wearing the one blazer and the one Oxford that you had and treat yourself.
The only clothes I wear are the clothes that I can make myself.
You're settlers. We settle for cable television.
Doug Mascot built the new Inside STL along with St. Louis Computer Service. You can like him on Facebook at Mascot Agency. Follow him on Twitter at Meet Mascot. 314-650-9083. It's Creative that works as hard as you do. Creative with character. They help their clients be as big as their imaginations. Give them a call. 314-650-9083, 314-650-9083, 314-650-9083. It's Mascot. Looking for website design, marketing, Mascot Agency, 314-650-9083. You know what it's time for, email today? Giving away two Bud Bash tickets for the Cardinal game tomorrow. Can Stephen Wildwood open up a three email of the day win lead?
Corey Seager said yes.
Yeah, I think people think it. Doug, look at how much Cucky the Dwarf wrote.
Oh, it's a little much, Cucky.
TMA, the free Dotem Open Edition. This email sponsored by Buck Swope's Photo Erotica. If you need an erotic session of pics with your stepdad, call Swopesy. Friesbin was certainly a day for the ages. And for all who were not there, here is the story from Cucky's perspective. I woke up early, harder than ever. My stepdad grabbed the keys to his El Camino and we headed off. I told him I had a job interview at Incarnate Words, so he dropped me off in the parking lot. I spotted some shrubs off a hole 7, so I sparked my blunt and waited. I gave a few cheers as balls came flying onto the green. I lit up a post-blunt dart, and who else do I see appear on the hill? One Joe Roderick. What a handsome man. We embraced, and he took some nudes of me. I then sprinted across the fairways from shrub to shrub, only to hear, "Is that Cucky?" in the background. I met the Blumpkin Pumpkin, a sexy all-American male. I then met Tabitha, what a minx. Then I hear, "Cucky, can we get a pic?" My world exploded. It was Lord Timothy in all his glory. Then I see Anna Marie, Swope, Caller Jordan, Janie the Lesbian, Big Al, Hall of Famer Dave, the number one playbaby, the Bulls' brother, and who else, you ask? Mother effin' Deke Dotem. My wildest dreams were coming true. This was no normal golf tourney. This was an event, and it was about to get a lot weirder and a lot hotter. The story to be continued on the glorious TMA fan page. That comes from Cucky Palmer.
Wow, what a story.
Cucky, and I can't wait to see the rest of the erotica
Cucky
on the fan page.
Palmer. Cucky Palmer.
Morning, Bottom. So I'm trying to watch the Blues game last night. What do I keep seeing? 2 feet of cleavage. Like 99% of the fine listeners on this fine presentation, I was disgusted and appalled at first. But then, on one close-up shot of those fun bags, it all took a dramatic turn for the better. I was amazed at how similar that trough resembled one Douglas Elvin Vaughn's perfectly waxed butt cheeks. From that point forward, it sure made the rest of the viewing of that game a lot more enjoyable for me. Thoughts? Sincerely, Burning Drip. Mushroom tip.
Don't have any thoughts for you. Burning Drip, mushroom tip.
Stephen Wildwood announcing his presence. Era, today our concern must be with the future. For our hockey team is changing. The old era is ending. The old ways will not do. We need to back our team in the only way we can, being loud, yelling, "Let's go Blues," and the power play dance are not enough. What we need is lesbianism to put our Blues over the top. We do it especially for those fans that have followed the Blues for 40 years and grew up in an era with a lack of lesbianism and therefore a lack of Stanley Cups. These 40 and 50-something men can only look up lesbianism on porn sites and have never witnessed these things in person except at Roxy's during the shower dances. But I tell you, the new frontier is here. Whether we seek it or not, beyond that frontier, uncharted areas of tribbing and scissoring. It would be easier to shrink back from that frontier, to look to the safe heterosexuality of the past, to be lulled by good intentions and high rhetoric, and those who prefer that course should not root for the Blues. LGBT, Steve Wildwood.
Steve in Wildwood.
Guys,
your read was pretty good.
No, I'm very good. I'm very, very good. Imagine if I would have graduated. Guys, Plops here. Had a neat idea pop into my head in the 7 o'clock hour. You guys were testing out the cough buttons in the studio. It was great. Guys, if any of you would like to meet me in the Lee Mayfairy Starbucks bathroom around 11, I can test out your cough buttons absolutely free of charge. It's where I treat your whispering brown eye like it has thumbprint entry technology, and then you cough on me. Afterwards, skinny lattes are on me. We can sip and talk about our findings. Second, I really wish Doug would write a book about his career. Chapters 1 through 15 would be boring old journalism stuff with the exception of his evening of freak dancing with Walter Payton. Then business picks up with chapter 16, which is titled, Then All These Catholic School Grads in Their 20s and 30s Started Pretending to Be Overly Aggressive Homosexuals, and They Somehow Selected Me as Their Leader, and My Career Took Off Like the Dickens. Hope I see that day come to pass. Thanks, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops. Plops.
Morning, men. What a great event Friday was. I had the honor of meeting and shaking the hand of our own broadcast hero, Mr. McKernan. I'll never wash my hand again. Then for the highlight of my day, maybe my life, I met the great Doug Vaughn. Wow, I will never wash my butt again. Thanks. Bodie McBoatface. Seamaster really liked that one.
Bodie McBoatface. I didn't care for it.
Guys, would you say that since the Sharks didn't score there in the last minute of the third period, would you say that's why the game didn't go to overtime? Anyway, man, I like seeing that Doug Vaughn on Friday. He was scantily clad, and the mild perspiration on his forehead was glistening like a nose after a sneeze. The pressing question lingering on everyone's mind is, which listener are you most likely to bed next? I bet you forgot how cute that little Deaky Doty was, didn't you? That Injun Joe can flat-out read a green, and Loomster sure is long off the tee. I, for one, think it should be Matt who bowls at Hank's. That cute little pink top with a nice pleated pant was solid. Also, I heard he can't wear shorts on the course on account of they'll penalize him for having an extra club. Rawr, sports boy. Rawr. Doug, that's from Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
That Freedom Open was a mother-loving pony show. Doug, I was so excited to see you that I gave you the old double-handed handshake, and I feel like I might have made you feel a little uncomfortable, but it felt good, and I stand by my decisions. I talked it over with some radio folks. Tim, you have a great staff because you are the greatest. Charlie's a saint, Ben Fred's a hoot, and the Wolf is top-notch. I got to meet up with some of my fan page friends. Sup, Brother Dave. Sup, Brother KB. Sup, Brother Bulls at Hank's. Sup, Runner Girl. Oh, and don't get me started on that cucky. But I must say my favorite thing about the day was the multiple times Big Al or Timberfake screamed, McKernan! And then proceeded to tell Tim what to do. I wasn't aware they were the ones running not only the golf tournament, but apparently inside STL proper. The impression I got Friday was that Big Al and Timberfake are in charge, and Tim is just the figurehead. Wouldn't have guessed it. Do good, avoid evil, Barnhart Brawler.
Barnhart Brawler. Brawler.
Howdy, I'm going to take a page out of Timberfake's book and start blaming stupid behavior on you guys. Dear Mr. Johnson, sorry I kidnapped your dog and superglued his paws to the roof of my garage. Also, you may have noticed I drove my car into your pool. You see, I was hanging out with the hosts of my favorite AM radio talk show, drinking Fireball and sexy coffee, so clearly nothing was my fault. If you have any questions, my friend Tim McKernan will explain everything. Here's his cell number. Call him anytime. He won't mind. Thanks. Your neighbor, Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. Speech.
Pretty good.
Is that part of the email?
No, it's kind of a delay tactic. Okay. It's kind of like the time kill music, but it was time kill percussion.
All right.
Guys, I know a lot about interrupting, and it's great. How about that Jim Hayes? We going to bring that back? How about that whole deal? The audio ports seem to work fine when Charlie is there, but when the cat comes back and he just can't seem to hear when other people are talking. Just another quirk of the paper mache palace, I suppose. Free Dotum, YNWA. That's from Chester Copperpot. Doug, you'll never walk alone. Liverpool, think about it. They tied yesterday, 1-1?
I don't know. Chester Copperpot. Copperpot.
Mac Man, sipping my sexy Dunkin' Donut here in Sex Gerardo, real sex show. The owner of O'Charlie's lives in my same condo, real sex show, man. Missouri, how about those Blues goals, huh? I hear good things. We going to bring those back? Yeah, let's bring those back. Kisses, Doug. Get coy, get bold. Let's go Blues. SEMO alum.
SEMO alum.
Doug, and finally, sup, Blues winning, Sharks not swimming, Cal May confusing, Rams suck it, boobs showing, nacho cheesy, ice cream creamy, caddy back, Tim the best, Doug show pony, horny me, gots to got, peas to you, ours, theirs, and chaser, get it, got it, flock it, flocky to smurf.
Oh,
and that's what we have, female of the day. Show me what you got, little mom.
I'm gonna
show me what you got, lady.
Cast my vote for Bodie McBoatface. I thought Chester Copperpot made some good points.
Well, that's not going to win.
Wow, and I didn't have.
I'm going to vote for Flocky the Smurf.
Wow, I didn't have any of those set aside in my final three. So this is going to go to the Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. Plow Shark. You better be ready.
I'm sure he enjoyed Flocky the Smurf.
I'm going with Cucky Palmer.
I feel good about this one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who's it going to be?
I'm just going to go with what made me laugh, and that was clearly Bodie McBoatface.
Wow.
Dang, damn it, Lucas.
Yeah, I'm back, boys.
Wow. Lemming.
He's lemming the cat, not me.
I know. It's unorthodox.
So anybody who does not vote with you is a lemming.
I think so.
I'm seeing this. Congratulations to Bodie McBoatface. Cucky and Misty Plops are starting to run out of time now, Doug.
Oh, they got half a month.
Okay.
They got plenty of time.
And you got time to take your son to the Blues game. Let's do it for Nick.
Ragazzi is the sponsor of the suspension log. You'll only two suspensions today, Doug. How about that? Everybody was locked in on the Blues. Blues hockey. Frank's up next. It's the Lions' Choice. Handoff to the Frank Cusimano Hollywood Casino press box. That comes your way from 10 to noon. Time for us to shut it down. For Peyton, for the Plow Shark, for my brother Kevin, for the Sea Monster, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSteel.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.